Hello, and welcome to the Interact Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Thorne McGee, Editor-in-Chief of Target Marketing, and I'm pleased to welcome you to another great live session. This one's a study of Calvin Klein's QR Code campaign, sponsored by Konica Minolta Business Solutions. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour. You can send them in at any time, though. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets on the console do and how you can customize your experience today. You can even tweet right from the console. Lastly, if you leave the session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Interact on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Thursday, August 25th, 2011. Now, without further ado, please welcome Val DiGiacinto, Vice President of Interactive Solutions for the ACE Group, an industry-leading marketing and print solutions firm known for embracing innovative marketing tools such as QR codes and pearls. Val worked on Calvin Klein's QR code campaign and is ready to share the lessons from it. Val, please take it away.
Well, thanks, Lauren, and welcome, everybody. Good morning for another 15 minutes or so, and I hope you're enjoying the Interact presentation so far, and you'll enjoy this one as well. Just wanted to start off today by welcoming everybody, and if you don't have a QR code reader on your phone right now, if you want to, you can go to the address that's up there. It's www.acegroupnyc.com/QR, and if you enter that URL into your web browser, it'll automatically, on your mobile phone, it'll automatically download or bring you to the place where you can download the free application that we believe is the best for your particular phone. So let's start off by, before we transition into Calvin Klein, some of the things that we discuss with our customer base when we're discussing the possibilities of doing a campaign for them is why QR codes? And we put this up because there are so many questions. People ask us many times, why should an ad add a QR code to an ad in a magazine, for example, spend some additional money for that ad, and what's my ROI? And today, the answers that I give is basically, well, let's start by asking, what's your current ROI on the ad that you're putting in that magazine without a QR code? And it's a great way to start a conversation about the fact that, generally speaking, and I would say for 99% of the responses, they don't know what the ROI is. There's no way to track it. There's no way to find the what the response rates are. That push is being pulled by somebody. And some people, it certainly isn't just out there not performing at all, but they really have no way of finding out what it is. And so that top line of the QR code creating a dialogue with the consumer, in an instantaneous way, we're very impulsive today. When we do turn a magazine, because we have this phone in front of us, this mobile technology that allows us to utilize the process so quickly, if we feel that push and we want to pull back, we can do it instantaneously. And then it becomes a legacy. It stays with us. So if you look through some of the statistics that are out there, you'll find that that things are really happening pretty quickly. Although it started in Japan and many years ago and has moved through Asia and Europe as well, QR codes are the worldwide standard. But you can see in the last 6 months of 2010, QR code usage increased by 1,200%. The last line on there, and I left the final statistics off, was the quarter over quarter from 2011 over 2010. The scan rates in North America have increased by 4,500%. So although to some extent it's still an emerging technology, QR codes are certainly moving at the speed of a bullet today for sure. A couple of quick statistics. This was done by Marty Marketing Survey, and it's of all mobile phone users, and this was for North America. And they asked the questions, have you seen a QR code? And you can see the response rates are dramatically different than they were a year ago, and certainly 2 or 3 years ago. We started with this technology over 4 years ago. Very different process back then. And this is what I think is a really, and something you should really take away. the demographic split is very different than I think most people perceive in who uses and who has seen a QR code. The process, when you look at it, is pretty much split down the middle between men and women. And if you look at the age demographic, that's where I think it really startles a lot of people. You have 52% between 18 and 35, but from 35 to over 55, you're at 38%, which is almost, again, another 48%, I'm sorry, another great split, almost right down the center. And most people would tend to believe that the QR code is a much younger demographic. And the reality is that it's being utilized by pretty much all age groups across the board. These are some other things about where did you see a QR code. Although they were used initially on things like advertisements and billboards, they're starting to pop up on products much more so than they ever have before. I would say about 35% of our campaigns today include something that also exists on the product as well as advertising and out of home. So the split is really starting to move forward, and I think the more we move into M-commerce or mobile commerce, we're going to start to see this going across the board on virtually everything. And then what did you use a QR code for? You can see the coupon discount is really one of the big factors out there, but the next one up from the bottom, the additional information, we seem to have about 65% of the QR code campaigns that we run today that are providing, for the most part, information. And it's amazing how many of us are out there really want to explore something and go deeper into this, whatever it is that we're looking for, whatever the push has been for, whether it's for pharmaceutical or financial or for a product. In some cases, we're doing work with cosmetics that are for anti-aging, and the application is, for example, something that needs to be addressed in a way to give more information to the user. And so users are very willing to give up an email address in order to maintain the dialogue and continue to share back and forth the information of what they need and what they want and how they want it delivered to them as well. So a little bit more about why QR codes, and one of the things that we see on the bottom bullet there is the fact that when a QR code is branded or colorized or in some way matched to an ad or to the surrounding collateral that it's a part of, we've noticed a 25% to 30% increase in the scan rates as opposed to what we call a naked QR code or one that's just a straight black and white QR code. And to give you an idea of what that can look like, it could be just as simple as including a logo within the QR code that brands it. And every time you see a QR code, whether it's and it doesn't necessarily take you to the same landing page, but the QR codes will always be branded the same way for any particular ad or advertisement or collateral that they utilize it for, in this case for WWE. To something that can be pretty dramatic and include the surrounding areas of what an ad could look like as well. So the branding functionality and how it's placed and positioned within an ad or the collateral will also make a significant difference on how it's utilized and what kind of rates we start to get on scans. One of the other things that's really important is how it's delivered to us. We're pretty finicky folks out there, and if one of the things we've seen a lot of is naked codes used in advertising that will take you to a homepage on somebody's website. And in our opinion, probably one of the worst things that you can do as far as dropout rates, it'll almost always end pretty much right there. If the piece of collateral is a push to a call to action, what we want as users is to get the very next thing we see is to be that call to action. And if you take a look at the mobile phones as well, one of the things that's very important is to make sure it's delivered to the appropriate phone in the best possible way. So what we send to an iPhone, for example, isn't the same as what we send to a BlackBerry. Very different files and very, very different type of formats as well, so that we can be sure that the user experience is going to be as good as it possibly can. And another thing that to discuss is, what's more cost-effective between applications and QR codes? Well, basically, QR code is a generic application that crosses all of the mobile phone technology. most of the phones today do come preloaded with QR code readers, applications, and once it has that on the phone, at that point, it then anything that can be scanned with that reader is basically can look just like an application to that phone. And you don't have to worry about the updates and the various different phones that are moving across. So, again, we believe that it's a much better application. So all of that is leading up to pretty much the reason why we're here today, and that's to talk about Calvin Klein. So just to give you a little bit of a history of how we moved into this campaign and how things can change, Calvin Klein had utilized the QR code on a previous campaign. It's just the positioning we felt wasn't very good, and unfortunately, when you were able to actually scan the code and where it was used, way too small, bad location, it didn't work. And so we contacted the company just to mention that we've tried it and that it didn't work and that we might have a better solution. And they brought us in, and within a few weeks we had a contract to do a QR code campaign with Calvin Klein. Very exciting because of who they are and the whole worldwide experience that we wound up generating because of this particular code. And what you're looking at right now is a wallscape on Houston and Lafayette Street in New York City. It's 70 feet wide, and it's a very popular location in New York City. It's a lot of foot traffic. It always has something controversial. You know, Calvin Klein has always been known for their edgy advertising. And this was the wallscape that was up about 2 weeks before ours went up instead of it. There's blogs in the neighborhood that talk about the ads and sometimes how they believe it crosses the line. So there's always a lot of chatter about Calvin Klein in this particular location. And on a Friday night, this is the wallscape that went up. Again, it's 70 feet wide, the whole wallscape. The QR code itself is 35 feet across. So you can actually scan it right off your screen right now. And it'll scan right through the light pole and the stoplight and the wire that's running across there. Error correction is, of course, built into it. And although this one isn't branded as much as we want it to, it is colorized to be able to fit right into the particular wallscape that was used here. We also had to be careful because there was a lot of construction going on in this area that's been going on for about 2.5 years and doesn't look like there's an end in sight. Off to the right there, you may see a little sign over the gentleman's shoulder that says gas open. And you really couldn't get that close to the sign, so we wanted to be sure that it was big enough to be scanned, and we tested it from almost two blocks away, and it was scannable from various angles and allowed us to be able to capture that data. So once you scan the QR code, it brought you to a landing page that we developed with Calvin Klein. And what I loved about this client's approach to this process is they Calvin Klein decided early on with us that the only way you could view this landing page was on a mobile device, period. You couldn't see this in any other way, only on a mobile device, and they wanted to be sure that it stayed that way so that people would utilize their mobile technology in order to view it in any way, whether they were scanning it themselves or whether it was shared with them from other possible ways. So all you could do, again, was either view the video by pushing the start button. You could share it on Facebook or you could share it on Twitter, and that was it. There was no other utilization on it. And initially, they wanted the Facebook and Twitter to go to their Facebook page and to their Twitter account so that people could share the information on their particular accounts. But when we took a look at what they had available, and we find this in many, many of the cases, the corporations don't really have a lot of visitors to their Facebook or Twitter sites. And because of that, we thought it might be wasting a good opportunity to have people share it on their own walls and tweet it from their own accounts. And so we came up with a method to be able to actually have this go to their own Facebook and Twitter accounts and allow them to be able to post a pre-populated verbiage as well as an identifiable QR code on Facebook, and the same thing with Twitter. Was it they would get a link that would come from Twitter, so we could track all the information that was going out that way and whoever was responding that way. And again, that was all you could do. Watch the video, share it on Facebook on your wall, or tweet it through your own Twitter account. And actually, this is the pretty much what I just explained to you over the campaign itself. Very big success as far as they were concerned, and again, it was exclusively being utilized to be able to push awareness of their new gene line. It did introduce Lara Stone, who was their new model for the line, plus a couple of other male models as well. There was brief nudity, so it was certainly a little more edgy than the normal campaigns were. And again, it was completely and totally mobile. What would happen is if when you scanned it, if I scanned it and shared it on my Facebook wall and Thorin saw it on his desktop but was looking at my Facebook wall and clicked on it, it would actually bring you, we would detect the fact that you were on a desktop rather than a mobile phone, and we would present to you an image of the wallscape, just like we had shown you in the previous slide, and would give you the ability to download a QR code reader and scan it on your mobile phone. But it wouldn't let you watch the video or see that landing page. And so here's some very interesting statistics from this campaign. There was the wallscape on House in Lafayette. There was a billboard on 10th Avenue and 20th Street in New York City. There were also wild postings in New York City. And there was a big billboard out on Sunset Boulevard in California. And if you look at the statistics, you'll see that obviously the 6.1% was from the House in Lafayette, which drew the most attention. And the other ones were smaller shares. And although this looks like a very unusual pie chart and doesn't look like it's very successful, this campaign was last July. It was supposed to be up for 1 week. And at the end of the first week, because of the metrics that were being seen on our portal, our marketing metrics portal, they decided to keep it up for an additional 2 weeks. So it came down the first week of August of 2010. And so it's a year later, and there isn't a day that's gone by since that poster went up that we haven't got it. We have not gotten a hit on the site. And so the 93% represents in the seven figures along with the original scans. Obviously, last year this is a much different pie chart. The major part of it was the House in Lafayette, and the smaller part was Facebook and Twitter and social media. And today that's the larger part because for the last year it continues to get hit every day, and there's been no place to scan a QR code other than either on the Internet or linked on it on the Internet as well. And so what I believe this really shows is the power of the legacy of a QR code campaign once it goes viral through the use of social media. Calvin Klein was very thrilled with these statistics, and as were we. We've done four additional campaigns since then, some international. And as I mentioned, every day we continue to get hits from the original campaign, and they come from all over the world. The ACE Marketing Metric Portal, we call it AMP. It's a portal that allows our customers to sign in 24/7 and be able to get the metrics from how the campaign and how they're being utilized. As you can see, the things that will tell them whether a customer does anything other than scan the QR code is the date and time stamp, the make model operating system of the mobile phone, the IP address so we can tell where they are in the world, and we can also see repeat users. We can tell if they've scanned the QR code on a mobile phone, if they've entered a URL, if it was available on their mobile phone or on a desktop environment. And then we start tracking any consumer enter data as well as consumer patterns. And certainly one of the first things we're looking for is drop-off points, things that where people, you know, perhaps we've set up a page that is a little confusing or maybe the user may think they have to enter data before they can move on. And you'll find, not that often if it's prepared right, but occasionally you'll find a place where one or two clicks into the process, you just get complete drops. We'll adjust those immediately with the client to make sure that we're taking care of those. And then what we're really looking for is consumer patterns to develop and bring us more towards the closing the loop portion of the process itself. So we have the portal that will, you know, address in a number of different ways in either bar charts or pie charts or line charts. This is just a quick example of a couple of things that are on there. We'll collect any and all data that we can about the users and the trends that are following up. We'll take things like, for example, where in the country or the world the scans are being brought from. All the QR codes are micro-encoded, so we can tell the codes where they come from, and then we also have geolocation capability that will allow us to, with an opt-in, to allow the user to identify where they are. We also allow our customers to download the raw data if they want to do their own metrics or data analysis. And then we get to the what we call closing the loop portion, which is analyzing all the metrics, determining where the data forks are branching and identifying common occurrences. And from that process, what we really want to do is close the loop by following up with either emails or text messages or direct mail, utilizing PEARLs, variable data prints, and so on, to continue the dialogue through the way the user is asking us to actually do that process with them. And so that's the end of the presentation. I know we're going to leave a few minutes so that we can have some questions, and quite honestly, those are the ones that are the process that we kind of like to do, but I know that there's a few questions, not too many, but I think right now would be a great time, if you do have questions, to come forward, and let's see what we can do and take a couple of the questions from the audience. So, Thorin, if you want to come in and let me know how to go.
Yeah, thank you very much, Val. It's a lot of great information covered there. We do have four questions in the queue, and if anyone else would like to ask anything, please go ahead and put it in the Q&A box now. We'll get to as many as we can before the time's up. Now, Val, one of the things that came up earlier in the presentation, you had shown the graph of where people are using the QR codes, and one of the abbreviations there was OOH. What did OOH stand for?
Say that one more time. I just didn't quite follow.
Earlier in the presentation.
OOH. No, I got you. I thought you were saying OOH. OOH is out of home, and it's a common phrase that's utilized in agency speak, I guess, for anything that's a billboard or outdoor collateral. So something that's a phone kiosk, bus shelter, billboards, wallscapes, window clings, signage within, within a building, but not at a point of sale.
Did you gather any data on how many of them are using it in a mail piece? Several of our attendees were curious about that, especially with the USPS promotion.
With the USPS promotion, we were promoting that ourselves as well, and it was a very good July and August, I must say. The amount of our clients who actually tied into the process was absolutely enormous, and part of our company is actually a very big printing facility. We're worldwide, and we do a lot of direct mail and mailings for large companies. We've done several utility companies during the summer, and have saved them enormous amounts of money in the tens of thousands, over $50,000 from one account in particular, in just the mail, and that included the cost of us doing a QR code campaign with them. So we're definitely, I think, the U.S. Postal Service is really on a mission to try to increase and improve the ability for direct mail to start to populate again. And I know PEARLs have been out there for quite some time, and there's mixed emotions about their effectiveness and how they're being utilized. But we're starting to see a resurgence again, even of the PEARL campaigns, and we utilize QR codes with our PEARLs. Often, my real name is Valentino DiGiacinto, and when you have to go to www.anything.com and then type in my name, and my hands are kind of big and that phone is kind of small, I tend to not get that done very easily. So we have QR codes on the Pearl campaign that is linked exactly the same way. So each one is personalized to the same URL as the Pearl is. So when you can scan it, it'll bring you to the same landing page as well. And then the great news about that is that it becomes legacy, especially when something is giving information, or in a lot of cases they're utilized for first-time usage. You know, bring in a get a discount, do certain things that are compelling to somebody to want to utilize the technology. It gives us the ability to actually keep that with them, so that they, when they walk into a store or need that coupon now, they have it with them all the time.
Okay. Now, when you put a QR code on a mail piece, do you use that differently? Are there things that work work better on a mail piece compared to what works on a big space ad or on a flyer or something?
It's more than anything, it's about size and positioning. There is a little bit of a battle that tends to occur between within the creative department. I've worked most of my life inside of light boxes with creative folks, and I know, you know, we work very well together, but I know they don't like too many other things on their ad other than their ad. So, I mean, I've heard many times, can't we take that copyright line off of this ad because it's too intrusive? And when I first saw the QR code, I was terrified to think about how that might be utilized and how upset the creative folks would be. But when we've talked to them about designing the code and making sure that it's at least an inch square and bigger, if we can convince them to do it and make it part of the ad and the compelling part of the ad that would allow people to actually become the process of where they can pull back, and so that we can see that they're pulling back and record it and then start the dialogue with the consumer. So I think more important than anything is not to make them, a half an inch or a quarter of an inch. You can scan it with an iPhone. You may not necessarily scan with a BlackBerry, and we're trying to get as many phones to be successful in scanning the QR code, no matter what piece of collateral they're on.
Now, another a similar question we're getting is a lot of people are asking. Yeah, they see the QR code with the palm trees in it, the QR codes with the logos in it. Then some of our readers or some of our listeners are curious. How can you do that? How does that work? Where you put a logo in a QR code?
It takes work. I mean, we have a department of web designers here, and we spent I actually discovered QR codes almost 5 years ago in Japan on a business trip, came back and realized that they weren't here at all.
Yeah.
And we spent the better part of a year developing our go-to-business strategy. Part of it was developing the QR code, developing the landing pages, and then providing the metrics at the end. We feel that that's a complete package for our customers. And so there's a bit of trial and error. We've gotten pretty much past that process of trial and error with some software development, but it just takes some time. You have to be very careful with that process. Some of the failures I've seen out in some of the QR codes that are released that don't work because they've been overly, designed, is a good way to put it, and to the point where a lot of phones won't scan it. Some always do, and it's usually the ones that they're testing with, but the testing procedure has to be rigorous. We test with every phone that's out there, including the iPad.
There's a percentage, right? There's a certain percentage of the code that does not carry information, and you can use that percentage to display the image if you want to. That's the way that works, right?
There is a certain percentage of the code, but then there's a balance of the percentage of error correction that you put into the code, and also the scannability rate from some of the applications that are out there on multiple types of phones. So we may find that an AT&T application doesn't work on one phone, but it will work on another. But if we change the code slightly, then we get it to work on both phones.
Okay. So
it's really important to try to get that testing process out there. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is for something to be released and then it just doesn't work. And I guarantee you, if you scan a lot of codes, you're going to find a number of them that just don't work at all.
Gotcha. Now, time for, I think, one more quick question. We just have a lot of people wondering, can you give us any indication of what the results were of the Calvin Klein campaign, the ROI maybe, or percent lift or something like that?
Well, I can tell you that it was in the seven figures. We signed NDAs with all of our customers, and unfortunately, like almost everything in life, they just won't allow us to release what we really would like to. But it was in the seven figures, and their process was purely for awareness. Okay. But what I can tell you is that they were extremely happy. They told us that the results were as good as they had hoped, and then some. And we've done 4 campaigns since then with them, and 2 of them have been both national and international as well.
Excellent. And that is all we have time for today. Val, thank you very much. And on behalf of Target Marketing and Printing and Pressures Magazines and our sponsor, Konica Minolta Business Solutions, I want to thank everyone who attended the session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, please visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with our other session attendees. You can also visit the Info Booth to fill out our show survey to let us know how we're doing today. Please check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up. I'll actually be on sessions pretty much throughout the day, and encourage you to view as many as you can. Remember, if you can't watch them live, add them to your briefcase and view at your convenience in the on-demand environment. Everyone, have a great day. Thank you very much.